One of my favorite IPs got shot like old Yeller, man. I don't know if you remember Dragonlance. I get it. You guys don't want to develop this IP. You just laid off 10,000 people. I don't understand what the fuck Hasbro was thinking. It's rough out here for a nerd. Hey, what up? What's up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token coming at you again with another episode. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming down on the pod. It's a daylight pod today, and we were behind schedule and all that good stuff, so we had to do things a little earlier in the daytime. The vibe is still here. We're still rocking in the free world, as they would say on TV in those references that I like to make. As always, you know, I got with me my brother. What's up, pal, bro? What's up, bro? What's pimping? What's good? What's good?
You ever watch Whiplash?
I love that movie.
It's a great movie, right? A
lot of hold on. Are we talking about? Is it Whip? Okay, it's always Whiplash because the Whip It is the other one with
with Elliot.
You remember the fucking roller derby movie with Elliot Page?
Nope.
There's a roller derby movie with Elliot Page, and they're
were they Elliot Page at the time?
They were not Elliot Page at the time.
Okay, dead name. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not doing
but
that.
You've seen it. Very commonly misunderstood movie, Whiplash.
Whiplash. Yeah, no, it's not about. Definitely don't, you know, somebody that hard. Please
don't give your life to drumming.
Because they don't, usually they don't, you know, bring you back and they, you know, let you have a whole fucking section by yourself.
Like, right. But there's a part in Whiplash that I feel like that whole intro encompassed or embodied.
Are you talking about where you like, why are you playing like a fucking monkey? Like, why
No. I'm talking about were you dragging or were you rushing or were you dragging? On my count, 1, 2, 3, 4.
This nigga recently checked out Netflix again.
Nigga, Whiplash is a very, like, it's just a movie that niggas have. That's a good movie. Miles Teller said.
When it dropped on streaming again, and I was like, I've got to watch this again. It was, and it's still just as good as the last time I watched it. Music fantastic. J.K. Simmons is a goddamn genius. He's beautiful. He's fantastic. Hey, look, man, he's been on a roll since then, honestly. I don't know, maybe since Spider-Man. You think since Spider-Man?
For J.K. Simmons? J.K. Simmons? He's just always doing some shit. Like, there's always something that he's a part of, so I don't know exactly what you mean. He's been on a roll his whole life.
When has he ever fallen off? Have you ever heard of a J.K. Simmons not winning?
No. He's just always gonna be great.
He was recently in another voiceover, and I was like, "What the fuck? Did you?"
Yeah, Tenzin. Legend of Korra.
Tenzin and Legend of Korra, but I mean, he's also, you know, Omni Man. But he was something after that, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
That's J.K. It doesn't matter. The nigga is gonna get his bread regardless. Either way, you jump through that motherfucker. I was like, "Damn, bro! You see sunlight outside? You're like, I don't know how to podcast. How do I do this shit?"
What do you mean, pod in the daylight, man?
Pod in the daylight. It's
I feel like we're gonna do a tech review or some shit like that. I'd be like, "Yeah, shit."
Right. Hey, what's going on, everybody? We're gonna open up the new iPhone 15. You would never, but.
There's a jump cut. Ooh, here's the box. I got that. Daytime pods are strange, but out on the record, every time, this is actually the first recorded daytime pod we've ever done.
Like, no, that's not true.
Facially recorded.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Deadass.
When we were still like audio, we could tell people, oh, it's daytime outside for you. Audio listeners or whatever.
You remember the audio only days? That shit was crazy.
That was crazy. Good old times.
Good times.
Yeah, you know, hey guys, I love this. Like, you know, we got to give you like at least like a few minutes of banter. So, you know, just bear with us. You know, this is what it is. Warm up.
What beat we picking? I'm just joking. I'm joking. I don't care.
That nigga quick with it. Speaking of joking, man, you actually posted the story of shit, man. Where the fuck were you, nigga? You was out. This nigga was out last night.
You know, you know, the wife. So, like, while I was gone, like, the wife was just, you know, she was enjoying her life, doing whatever. She had found like a bunch of different places that, you know, she just liked to frequent or whatever, right? The only problem is, like, I've already been outside before, you know what I mean? I've had my time outside.
Yeah.
Her time outside was when I was gone. Nothing wrong with that, you know what I mean? Nothing crazy behind that. But, you know, like, her time outside was while I was out.
Yeah.
She
made a lot of hobbies, you know, shit.
She started doing comedy and shit. That, and it's dope, you know what I'm saying? She just had a showcase.
Shout out her.
Yeah, she just had a showcase in town, like, you know, a little while away. And she did pretty great. One of the places that she had, and I'm not giving this place no promo, but one of the places that she frequented got shut down and it recently went back up. So that was her first time coming back, and she was not expecting to have as many white people there. I was also not expecting to have so many white people there, because the way
she was describing it and telling about it, she was like, "Yeah, nah, yeah. this is a pretty, nice little colorful area."
Yeah, very odd place. So I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? It was an open mic. You know what I'm saying? She would go to open mics and do like comedy and shit. That's kind of where she like cut her teeth.
No, I mean, I get it. Also, I get it as well. Like, it's a situation of like, hey, look, I've been doing comedy for a certain audience for the last like, 4 or 5 months, right? And then there's a reopening of this place, and the audience is completely different now. In my material,
I just think that, like, you know, what I mean, if you're gonna try to keep your shit afloat, you kind of have to, like, if it's shut down with this audience, let's try a different audience. So I'm like, I'm not mad at the place. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, that's how you continue to make money and shit. I just understand as a performer, as somebody who's getting ready to come in for an open mic, you were expecting the old crowd.
And it's well, like, okay, cool. And this is something that, you know, I guess we hear, right? And
yeah,
I mean, we're talking that about that. Ruminate on.
Yeah.
So like, as if you went to an open mic, would you perform? Like if you went to an open mic and they just had like sign up sheets and shit, would
exactly
you,
depending on how many people on the sign up sheet. Like if I come in right and there's like 4 or 5 people, I'm like, all right, man, like y'all had this event, I'll do something. I got something.
That's right? My mentality too, like, right? Like if I go up and it's just not a big room and I'm like, there's not a lot of performers. You know what I mean? I'm not really super hell bent on like getting in front of people and like, you know, I'm capable of it.
Very much so. And if it's a situation of like, well, we showed up here for the vibe, like we wanted to be here to kind of like enjoy all this comedy. And if only a couple of people perform, it's going to probably do like worse. So
Yeah, exactly. So let me like, you know what I mean? Let me be a part of like the ice breaking process type shit.
Absolutely. I got something. It does like it.
Right. Like even if I don't do well, I don't care if I bomb in front of 6 niggas I don't know.
Exactly. Like it's whatever. All right, man. I'm gonna sit down, eat my chicken wings while you do your set. Whatever. Like, French fries, man. Some type of finger food.
Yeah. So like, you know what I mean? I just think it's etiquette, like open mic etiquette. Like if you're capable of performing, go up in there and perform. You know what I'm saying?
So especially if you walked in and you knew it was an open mic.
Yeah. She don't necessarily have that same mentality, and you know, God bless her type shit. Right.
The thing is that not everybody is here. Like that doesn't make you less of a team player or supportive motherfucker.
Agreed. As long as you laugh and clap for people as they come. Cause I think that it's just the desire to get up there and perform, or like, you know, to maintain that sanctimony of like people performing and encouraging people to perform. Like, you know what I mean? You should always do that. You shouldn't go to open mics to laugh.
Yeah.
Well, unless like laugh in the room.
I get what you mean. Yeah. I was like, there's a difference. Like if you're going to a professional show and you know, you're seeing like a professional, right. Then you're going there to catch a laugh, to have a good time. Right. An open mic, I think, is there for the vibe. Right. There's going to be a lot of, I feel like if you're doing a set, like there's going to be some decent crowd work, just kind of shit. This is a room looking to engage with each other.
Right.
Because the thing is that at most everybody here, somebody's going to perform. They might be sitting next to you. They could be across the bar. Like you might have been standing in line behind them. Like, you know, like, I wasn't expecting this nigga to get up and sing Fantasia. Like,
yeah, right. Anything can happen. But you know, like, I mean, it's just like, if it's a healthy amount of people in there and they go and fucking perform, I'm not going up there. I don't need to go up there. There's like 30 niggas here.
Yeah, I was like, this exactly. I was like, there's no, I don't need to put my input in this. Like, I actually moved the show along.
Right. But I mean, like, my wife, she's a little bit different. She likes the vibe of the place, et cetera, et cetera. So when I went in there, I was just like, damn, it's a different room. It's a very different room than I was expecting. It's mostly white. Now, granted, if there's one thing I could do is perform.
Chuckle for the whites.
In front of whites. It's not hard. Some people be like, it's not hard, boy. You can go up there and do a couple jokes. You know what I'm saying? There's a way. There's an angle. You can look
at somebody. There's always depending. It's like if you look out and it's like, oh, is this an alternative crowd? Okay, you can tell. Is there
you get the thought process. People up there is like, all right, let's look at the rule. Like, okay. Doc Martens.
A lot of button ups and plaid. All right, cool.
All right, I can do the flannel crowd.
Yeah, either day.
Like, I don't even do comedy, but I could do a flannel crowd.
Even old folks, I'd be like, motherfuckers remember Dean Martin?
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I spent so much time on my phone.
I remember my grandma, she used to be like, hook me up with the oatmeal. Oatmeal used to be busting.
Y'all like oatmeal? Anybody in here like oatmeal?
Like oatmeal? Exactly. Oh, boom. God. Like, oatmeal would be hitting this. Like,
hey, what kind of grits y'all like? I also and maybe this is let's talk about it. Fuck it.
Everybody in the room. This, if you're on the savory grits,
salt and pepper, huh?
a little shrimp, a little cheese. You fucking.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about it, man. Let's talk about it. So you don't do comedy. I've officially done open mic comedy like twice.
But I've mentioned on the pod that I'm like, ah, that's really kind of up there. I was like, I don't have a super desire to become a stand-up comedian, but I do want to do stand-up because the art form is crazy. Like, like it takes nuts, it takes guts, it takes a whole lot of like being not only self-aware, but being able to ride with the crowd, which that's my favorite part. I like rocking the crowd. That's kind of why I do this. Like, that's the thing. Like, which kind of sounds fucked up. I'm like, I love,
you know, a crowd will tell you what direction you should be going. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can go in there and it's like, okay, this isn't hitting with them. I got whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have enough understanding of culture and people to be like, all right, I could rock one day. It's a challenge to myself. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So, like, if I go up there and bomb, I don't care. You know what I mean?
I think it's because, like, I mean, we come from a family where it was like, we're all, it's loud. Well, depending on the side of the family, like, you know, either way, but most of it, it's loud.
Both loud.
Fucking, you know, we play in some kind of game. Somebody's telling the story or everybody's trying to tell a story. And depending on the loudest or the most charismatic person at the time, right, they're going to probably catch the lead at that time. And then somebody's going to eat off of that and kind of go from there. And the conversation continues. You know, that's the type of fun shit that I'm interested in. So rocking a crowd has always been like, okay, cool. Like, who's laughing? Who's into this? Like,
yeah. Now, granted, I don't want to, because like me and Gerard Carmichael talked about it in an interview with Mark Maron that didn't go great, where he was talking about how like he does comedy for the special. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it, too. Like, if I did comedy, I would want to do it for the special. Like, I don't want to do it. I don't care about the live,
about the road work and all that shit. That like a lot of like, hey, look, let me get out. Like, I need a 10,000 kicks. Like, I gotta do fucking 18 right. shows.
Like, I don't want to be a, like, and that's what I'm like. That's a comedian, like an actual comedian. Yeah. He does the road. He road entertains comedians crowds. Are
a different breed. Like that. That's a whole different individual, right? Like, Cat Williams talks about. He's like, I've got shows from coast to coast consistently and constantly, right? I've never been like to one of his shows, so I can't, you know, attest.
And I mean, like, the biggest comedian
out there,
the biggest comedian I'd ever seen live is like Chris Rock. Comedian talk, we've done it before, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's art.
Yeah, you know,
and it should be respected.
No, but really, the thing is, mostly less about like comedians. Even so, like live music, like I've done that, perform live music to that degree. Like, that's another thing I'll do up in mic. Like, oh, you need a percussionist, and I'll fucking play fucking 3-4 different sets with some niggas I've never met.
Yeah,
because like, just
and, you know, work the muscle up.
And be like, hey man, you play fucking, you got a djembe there? Oh, that's a cajon. Hey, can you just find a pocket, man? I play this, and I'm like,
Cool. Like, or like, if it's just like a basic type, whatever the fuck, I'll go in there, I'll play a little bass, or I'll play a little whatever, right? So like, you know, I've done open mics where I play guitar, I've done open mics where I sang songs, I've done open mics where I've done comedy. It's just fun for me to do. I don't have a lot of investment in it.
Exactly. Like, I mean, but that's the reason you come to an open mic. I feel like, you know.
Yeah, like, for sure. Now, granted,
if the vibe hits you, then you know, go for it.
Exactly. Now, granted, everybody's not just like somebody who enjoys performing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like when I went in there and it was just like a mixed crowd, I'm like, it's a lot of comedians in here. You know what I'm saying? And they're good. Yeah. Like all the comedians that I saw that night were good. And so when I went up there and I did my little thrown together set, because I was like, damn, I don't think anybody's going to perform. Let me write what I think could be some jokes and go work it out. So wrote them together, et cetera, et cetera. And when I got done, this nigga came up to me. It's like, hey, man, because I did a joke where I was just like, and I went up there. I was like, look, man, let's change the vibe. Let's attack it. Because like sometimes I perform in a competitive headspace.
I was like,
where it's just like, I just need to not be the worst.
The Bernie Mac situation was like, I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
But it's like, if everybody's doing like what I think is their set, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, you're like, I'll go up there and I'll work something out and I'll be like, let's change the vibe up. Let's see what I can get away with. Right. I went up there and I was like, anybody come from a dysfunctional family? Anybody got domestic violence and they shit, et cetera, et cetera. It was like, the thing about when you grow up with domestic violence is you get real desensitized to it. Like after a while you look at that nigga like, hey, that's a monster. You need to leave. And like, it's not funny, but it's funny. And you have to have the right crowd to let that off. I knew it wasn't the right crowd. I kept pushing, right?
But you went ahead and shot for it anyway.
Yeah, I just wanted to see. Wanted to see if it was going to go.
I mean, hey, look, man, it's open mic, man. I'm trying shit.
nigga, who are y'all? Anyway, so fucking the last joke I did. The last joke I did thrown together was just like, you know, you don't really need a dad. You just need a good YouTube account, or you just need YouTube. Anything a dad can teach you, you can learn on YouTube.
Gotcha. Right?
Did the joke. Did I write? Sat down. Sat through the rest of the stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
And then here comes this nigga. And he's like, hey, man, I think that it'd be funnier if you said Indian guy on YouTube. And I'm like, what a note.
What? Wait a minute.
I'm just like,
Ooh, I don't know what. Where's that hitting?
I don't know.
Just
racial for no reason. Racial for no reason, huh?
That's fucking me up, man. That's fucking me up. No, speaking of, but so did your wife actually end up performing?
Nah, she didn't go. Not there though.
Okay, I mean, I get it. I was like, you know, it's okay. There's two different vibes. You performed, she was like, I'm chill. What'd she say after you got off the stage? Was she telling you not to perform, or was she encouraging you to perform?
I mean, like, you know, whether she wanted me to or not, I'm just like, I believe in maintaining the art of performance. And if me going up and doing bad encourages somebody to
get up out their shell or get up, because there's somebody, again, we were mentioned, I kind of semi touched on it earlier. Some people are up there for different reasons. Some people have issues public speaking. Some people have like deep seated insecurities, or they have like this thought process and dream they want to get out or something like that, and they don't have anybody to like vent it out to. So, hey, look, man, here's a forum. Like, but instead of Twitter or Tumblr or something like that, here's a forum of individuals at the show. So, like, definitely anything that helps facilitate the vibe. Hey, get up here and like say what you want to. I'm gonna change the vibe, see what I can get away with, and maybe somebody else will feel comfortable.
Like, oh, well, I mean, he didn't go up there and talk about domestic violence for like, you know, 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, like, even if the jokes don't hit, my performance will be great. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
One of the situations where it's like, hey, bro, like, you know, shit, I did my thing. Like, I got my laughs.
I've done my 10,000 kicks with performing. I don't know comedy. So, whatever. Not to say I bombed. I didn't bomb necessarily. But she didn't go up. She's you know, doing her thing. Grab for whenever she's comfortable enough for me to like start posting about it, I'll post about it. But
I can't wait. This is gonna be interesting. I'm ready for the dynamic duo. Y'all niggas about to take over, but it's gonna be crazy.
I'm not trying to do comedy. I'm
not the competition. No. I'm talking about this next game. But I mean, that's something down the line. Something down the line. You know, new shit for later on. Speaking of YouTube, nigga, motherfucking me. Did you hear that Jeezy got a motherfucking me? Tiny.
You told me 2 days ago.
I did. I just want to make sure. Did you actually end up watching?
No, I did not.
No. If you did,
I'm watch Tiny Desk out.
I understand, right? But like, did you watch Scarface?
Yeah, I did not. I watched all the clips and all the little things. I heard it was really good.
Scarface was a moment.
Yeah, I'm Tiny Desk. Scarface
was a moment. Out. And Jeezy, right? I feel like should have been a moment. And honestly, the performance was really good. Because the reason I even thought about it is because we were talking about the art of performing, what energy you kind of get from the crowd, what vibe you're looking for when you walk into a place. And I really feel like the individuals that were checking out the Jeezy concert, I feel like between Jeezy and them, they were just like on a different wavelength. Because Jeezy, I mean, he's playing anthems, man. He's doing when motherfucking go crazy, he played Go Crazy.
That's a great
damn
song.
Near acoustic, essentially acoustic, right? And get to the chorus, right? And the next thing you know, he's like, all right, cool. And everybody's saying, like, half the motherfuckers didn't know the words, which cool, no problem. But like the people that did know the words were just going,
right. It's like a cultural like thing, right? Like you go to a Jeezy. To me, like you'll go to like a Jeezy show or a Jeezy fucking Tiny Desk to go hang out with Jeezy fans. And it doesn't
really, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter if Jeezy does well or not, because like we all were there for the Jeezy moment.
But that's not what showed up. Like they invited like a bunch of they invited Howard. Apparently, Macon was supposed to be in the building. These are all HBCUs, black colleges and shit like that. And you know, NPR has that whole fucking little area, and mostly it's staff that ends up at a fucking Tiny Desk concert shit or invite open type thing. It's cool because I kind of like decided, I was like, well, hold on, because Jeezy kept shouting out Bobby, right? Bobby Carter. I'm like, I don't, well, he said Bobby. I looked at the credits. I was like, Bobby Carter. Who the fuck is Bobby Carter? Because this is the first time I'm like hearing an artist directly reference a person for like linking this up. He's like, thanks for getting this together. So then I looked, I was like, okay, Bobby Carter, this is a nigga from he went to Jackson. Like, I watched a couple of like interviews and shit like that with him. He doesn't have a lot of, it's weird. Like, the interviews that he does do not have a lot of views at all. Like, for different accounts and shit. He's like, you're like a mentor to me. And his fucking interviews are like 151 views. I was like, God damn. Like,
Bobby Carter.
Bobby Carter, right?
It's crazy to think about the people who connect, but whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah. Either way. But like, yeah, this nigga is apparently the guy who's been, he organized, the first person he got was T-Pain, right? Mm-hmm. All the way back in 2014. That was the one that he actually had input on. And then from there, he got Jeezy. I'm not Jeezy, but Gucci. Like, there was like anybody that he was feeling like was going to be a moment type situation. And I'm like, for you to get Jeezy, right? And for you to be such a fan, right? How did we end up with such a disconnect between the crowd? Because again, Jeezy did a fantastic show. I was here vibing. I was watching it with Lil Trey and shit like that. It was great. Like, son's having a great time. I'm like, I'm cooling, right? You know, last Tiny Desk, the reason I even got back into him is because Scarface literally, like, when I watched
it. You didn't go for Juvie? You didn't go look for Juvie?
Nah, I was cooling. I was cooling. Even though Juvie's a vibe, like Juvie's a different vibe. I like Juvenile, right? But like, you know, if it ain't chop us, chop us, like
Juvie, you would fuck with Juvie. I know you would.
No, I know, you would. I know it's probably
you wouldn't go watch an acoustic version of Rodeo. It's the pretty brown driving me wild.
Damn, I fucked the whole camera off.
You had a dip in there.
Hey man, that shit was. But nah, I'm gonna check it out.
I'm not saying check it out, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, I mean, I see we're putting hip hop moments together, the whole nine like that.
That's what I'm saying. Scarface to me is what opened the thought process. It was like, you know what? I can watch the rest of these. And when I saw Jeezy, I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to watch him. And maybe Juvenile is really good. Because even Gucci was nice. I was just not necessarily, I was Tiny Desk.
So there's a difference between Jeezy, and then there's Jeezy and Gucci, who I feel like would be in the same vein of performer.
Yeah.
Maybe Gucci, maybe Jeezy would be different. Like, there's the performance that relies on the audience. And the audience and the performer have like a connection and blah, blah, blah. Right. And then there's a master craftsman, which is Scarface. Right.
Yeah.
Scarface is a master rapper. So he goes up there like when he raps, you shut the fuck up. When he does his thing, you shut the fuck up. So like, I don't need a lot of audience participation, a lot of woos and whys to see Scarface. But you might need that to see Jeezy.
The vibe is different. But like, that's what fucks me up about Jeezy is that, because I was thinking, it's like, damn, does the audience owe the performer in certain settings? Because obviously in an open mic setting, right? Definitely the audience and the performer, the connection, like the audience owes the performer a little energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that is positive or negative, right? Like if you're going to give it, try not to give negative, right? That's definitely it. But I mean, the thing is that, you know, if you boo, that's you, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up for you to boo at a goddamn, you know, oh my, but either way,
weird.
Nobody booed Jeezy or anything like that. People seemed to be enjoying the music, but it was also like the vibe was very like, we're too cool for school.
Situation. I don't know. I'd have to watch it. So like,
you know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you haven't checked it out yet, but it is definitely worth the shot. Like, just checking out some of the moments and like, huh, you know, you get a whole Jeezy fucking acoustic concert. But you don't get one good Jeezy laugh, you know?
I mean, I don't know. Also, you got to think, like, the college crowd today is not the college crowd of Jeezy's prime.
Definitely. I mean, you know, it's just like,
fucking. Like, yeah, we might play, oh, mama. No.
This nigga's like, cannot name a popular
Jeezy. Lost Jeezy my mind. No.
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to remember the name of the song.
That's like, Plies. On this liquor.
No. I did the fucking. The melody wrong. It's I want to say show up. It's not show up, but fucking fuck.
Put on, either.
Huh? No. Because I wouldn't like. What kind of song would we play by Jeezy in a fucking high school band or like a, not a high school band, like in a band?
That's gonna be like,
because there's a lot of them. But I'm just like, I like trap Jeezy.
Yeah, Trap Jeezy was great, and it's not a necessary.
And I like the Jeezy just like rapping Jeezy, about his life. Like,
great time.
Yeah. So either way, I'll check it out.
I check my phone a lot because I'm a dad now.
It's also daytime, so like the people who would text you in the daytime would text me in the daytime.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Totally get it.
Nah, definitely. But it just fucks me up because, again, I wanted to address them. Like, so in certain settings, definitely the audience owes you some energy. But in a professional setting, like, right, when you're asking for things, like when you find an artist that is on stage asking for participation, like, it feels bad to me. I when a pastor has to be like, y'all ain't hear me, right? Because he's needing people to come with him to go with that. I'm like, it sits weird with me. The vibe becomes different. Like,
yeah, because you're asking for participation instead of like demanding it, right?
Indeed.
Maybe not even demanding it. It's just like performance in and of itself is an art. You know what I mean? Like to go up in there and be like, all right, look, this is the room. How am I going to get the room on my side and still maintain the integrity of my performance? Right. Or maintain the tone of it. Right. Like if you come in the room and you realize like, oh, they don't know my songs or they don't know my shit. How do I interpret? Like, how do I do that? Then it's different for Tiny Desk because you rehearse for that.
How do you rock with this? Do I interact more with it? Because like I've seen other people kind of interact more with the band and then they have like a vibe and a moment there and then it becomes more of a show. And people are like, hey, look, you know, it came with what it was, you know. But then there are also a situation where the audience is hype and has a good time. And like, this is the thing where I'm like, how did we manage to, are you, because if it's invite only, right, then why did we invite these individuals that seem to be not?
Once again,
are we trying to show new people this shit?
These like, folks, that, like, it's more of a moment. Like, y'all tried to curate a moment. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But like, y'all are inviting folks that may not be aware of the catalog. So how much participation are you expecting to get if I don't know this song?
Yeah, again, I can't really rock with it.
You should have just fucking invited alumni or some shit and gone with that.
That would have definitely been your situation. That would have been a situation I probably would have did a little bit better. I don't know. But again, you know, Jeezy did a fantastic job. Shout out to Tiny Desk. I believe that that's one of the most intimate forms of performance that we have with like music and stuff like that now. That's not just painted and like put towards like a camera and a group. Like, you know, shout out to Color Show. I think those are cool and stuff like that. But I also feel like to a degree, it's not.
There's no audience in Colors.
Almost like fake intimate because there's nobody that you're playing to. You're just playing to everybody. But then at the same time, you're playing to yourself. And I'm like, all right, some people put on a great show. And I'm like, oh, this is great. You know,
well, some people are good at, you know, performing in front of the mirror.
That is fucking true. That's why I have issues with solo pods because it's just a thing of like, I am a crowd. I like fucking with the crowd and the fact that like the crowd participation comes significantly after a video has been formed or something like that. That's the thing. I'm like, okay, like I can get direct input from individuals after I edit and put it out and shit like that. And that's if I decide to edit.
If you decide to edit. Bitch ass nigga, come on.
I jest. I understand. I'm very appreciative of how much you do for me, man.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not in the game to get my ass kissed, nigga.
Exactly, man. You know.
But we put work in and we do what we got to do.
We do indeed. But getting to kind of like the main topic, man. I know I got to kind of veer this off here and shit, but like I had to address the performance thing because I was like, this is kind of dope. And I think that like as a moment, we should at least discuss what it's like to perform, where you're at with that, and different types of performers, or at least what type of performers we are. But, you know, I actually was, I wanted to break it down and some bullshit happened. It kind of made me a little upset. I was a little high for like weeks or so. It was a couple weeks now, almost a month. One of my favorite IPs got shot and got taken out to the back and, you know, taken out like old Yeller Man. Fucking, I don't know if you remember Dragonlance or Dragons of the Autumn Twilight, any of these books ring a
not
bell.
Familiar.
I've not seen either. Yeah, I get it. I understand. There's a different section of the library. Like, you know, different worlds, man. Where you rock at the same, where your section of the library says a lot about you. You know, if you're in YA fiction, but you're only in the, you know, steamy romance novels with black covers and swirly patterns, you know, that's I get it. That's where you live. Or if you're over here with the fantasy boys and it's a bunch of Ari Salvatores and a great deal of Star Wars and shit like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I just wasn't there. So what about Dragon? Like, you know, you already said the name of it.
Yeah. So Dragonlance, right? So Dragonlance, it's like a high fantasy IP. A lot of people have described it as like the Star Wars of fantasy because it's so epic. Like, there's like multiple volumes and shit like that. It spans over comics and things. It's had a fucking animated series, an animated movie, excuse me. It dropped in like 2008. It was, but the property itself, right, is kind of D&D adjacent. It back in the day, like in like second edition back before Wizards of the Coast bought fucking bought the rights for it and shit when it was still TSR. That shit was when it's still TSR, Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman, they both are the authors of the series, and they actually got an opportunity to like collab with TSR and shit. So there's been like side content for Dragonlance or Dungeons and Dragons for a long time. And that's how it actually came into like Wizards of the Coast hands, because when it was still under TSR, and there's actually a very interesting like background with that shit that I'm not equipped to fucking give the full breakdown of, but there was a lot of like back and forth between the companies. So it's already been kind of something that's been a little like mishandled in the past. I wouldn't even say like there was a time frame where I think it was really dope. Like my original Dungeon Master, the one that I've been playing with for 11 years, very into Dragonlance. Very into Dragonlance. He's got minis. When I say minis, like tiny figures and shit like that.
Yeah, I think niggas know what minis are.
Just in case. Minis, like minis of all the different characters from the book that we use sometimes as like stand-ins for our characters when we don't have minis, or stand-ins for NPCs. There's all sorts of little breakdowns and stuff for that. But either way, it's in the hands of Hasbro now, which is the owner of Wizards of the Coast. Shout out those fucking conglomerates. Big companies buy other companies. It gets rough. But essentially, Dragonlance was getting a series of its own, and it was going to be penned by Joe Manganiello, which, if you guys don't know who that is, that's Big Dick Richie from Magic Mike. He was married to Sylvia Vergara. He's also an avid tabletop role player. He's been involved in Dungeons and Dragons. This is the guy I'm talking about. He wrote Descent into Avernus, or helped write bits of Descent into Avernus, which was very dope. He went from like playing a live play game to deadass like being like written, his character being written into like D&D canon, essentially, which is very fun. Like, I mean, as far as if you're like looking to play the modules or looking into lore and things like that, or some areas, because that's the cool thing about D&D, right? Like, it's a wide open game. None of the history really matters if you don't want it to, because you can make your own world. That's just kind of a side story, a side thing, right? But he was gonna write it. It was going to be fucking, apparently it was supposed to be really good. Everybody brought it to, he's been working with the authors, and it was looking to be one of the best things that was coming out. Like, people were saying like, this is the best fucking pilot I've ever read since the first pilot for Game of Thrones. And that shit dropped back in 2011. So it had the makings of a blockbuster series, right? Like, we had just gotten Rings of Power. This is a series that just dropped billions of dollars, and this is all in the fantasy realm. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, they had watchers, viewers, and sure, it had a critique. But I don't understand what the fuck Hasbro was thinking when they decided to let our nigga know. He's like, hey, look, we're not looking to develop this anymore. We're not looking to develop this IP any further. And so they basically, like, pulled the rug out from under my nigga. I'm like, what the shit? And also, my nigga tried to buy it. Like, he was like, hey, man, you know what? I get it. You guys don't want to develop this IP. You're going through all this crazy shit. You just laid off 10,000 people in fucking Holiday area, which is wild and kind of evil and corrupt, but whatever. Like, that just happened with Hasbro. You guys don't remember Hasbro. They make all the fucking G.I. Joes and goddamn me Transformers. And they also own Power Rangers now. So look out, guys. It's rough out here for a nerd. Like, they basically told Joe Manganiello, no, you can't buy the IP, because, you know, he offered to buy it. And like, we're just not looking to develop any further. So it basically puts this shit in that fucking horrible limbo of like, hey, we almost made something that was highly accessible. We almost made something that was so underground and fun and cool and had this fan base that kind of lived here, right? We decided we almost let that shit come up out of the fucking underground and possibly break into the mainstream. And we said, nah, fuck that. Bah. Sorry. Excuse me. I didn't mean to go off, but like,
nah, you do. I mean, it's important to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's rough. Because the thing important. Is, I'm not the lore expert of Kryn. I'm not the biggest. Like, I love Dragonlance. The first book was the first thing I read. I've read the other ones, well, some of the other ones, but it's been so long that I can't even really place everything that's happened in the series. But I do remember very vividly the characters that I really fell in love with, like Raistlin, the fucking wizard. There's twin brothers in this goddamn series, Raistlin the wizard and Cameron. And these niggas have like one of the coolest stories around as far as fantasy goes. Like, I mean, they say like it's like fantasy Star Wars, but imagine your brother is a like, you guys grow up together, five of your friends, you dip off for fucking 13 years, come back and like, hey, cool. You see your brother for the first, like, imagine you see me for the first time in like 13 years, right? I've got gold skin, hourglass eyes, and I'm wearing a red robe, which, I mean, red robes in fucking, in magic communities and shit like that, as far as like the D&D adjacent shit goes, is like the, like, it's definitely signifies a mage, but usually like an evil mage. Like, it's kind of interesting. Like, the red wizard.
What's gold skin mean? What the fuck does that mean?
That's exactly. It's like, why do you have gold skin? Mm. Why are your eyes hourglasses? This nigga sees the way he sees, like, you know, when he sees people, like a beautiful woman or something like that, he doesn't see her as a beautiful woman. He sees every second that she's aging that he's looking at her, right? He doesn't see a beautiful flower. He sees a decayed fucking stem in your hand. Like, that's the type of shit. He traded all of these things for power, right? Because by the time they when they're young, like, magic nerfs itself. Fucking the gods disappear, healing magic goes off the rails. So suddenly these niggas say, hey, let's split up, let's go do our own thing, we'll take notes and come back. And your brother comes back and he's got all of these different basically magical enhancements that he's done, making all these trades and shit. It's, and so you build into like the relationship between these two brothers, the fucking mage brother thinking that this brother, he can't, like, I'm gonna eventually have to trade this motherfucker and sacrifice this dude for power, right? And the other brother's like, I can't live without my brother, but he's becoming a monster. Like, this is, and that's just two characters. Like, there's like multiple others that are involved in that shit. And so this is like Game of Thrones level shit to me, right? Like, you know, and I remember reading that shit in 92 and then also being like, oh shit, 2011.
You didn't read that bitch in 1992?
I was born in 92. I was saying the book came out in 92. I remember me reading it when I was like in middle school.
Yeah. Like, cool. I understand. You was heated. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me. I remember reading it when I was in middle school. So like, for that's to be such a like a great example, like, of like how a fantasy IP can become one of the most like worldly reference things. Like, if you look at, like, just as a small example, fucking Kenny Beats has a show on fucking YouTube. It's called The Cave. If you guys have never seen it, it's very funny. He makes a beat in 10 minutes. He invites different artists and shit like that. And he, like, they rap. They do a little freestyle. They write something or they freestyle. It's very fun. If you like music, if you like people making music, it's a cool little side. But in the midst of one of those episodes, like, Vince Staples got a homegirl named fucking, what's her name? Ronnie?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. She's just like, I want to watch Game of Thrones. Hurry up, man. I want to watch Game of Thrones. Like, this is an underground random hip hop thing in fucking 2000, at least 20, I think. And goddamn me, you got in the same voice, in the same fucking sentence, essentially, like, somebody's going to go rap and Kenny Beats is the police. Like, this is how 66 degrees of separation that shit has become. Like, you know, people are, anybody and everybody pretty much knows like who the fuck the fucking Mother of Dragons is and things to that degree. Like, but if you ask somebody in, like, I guess 2008, right, when Jeezy was popular, like, you know, if you ask somebody in 2004, they probably wouldn't know who the fuck you are talking about on a regular basis. It's just an opportunity. I just feel like fantasy in itself has so little opportunities, as far as I can see, about being like an accessible format, right? Or an accessible game. Like, just recently Baldur's Gate coming out, I think that's a huge like leap forward, as far as like, oh hey, this is the basics of the system. It's a little modified, but this is kind of how D&D works, like, or this is kind of how fantasy works, you know?
I mean, I don't know a lot about the system in fucking Baldur's Gate or whatever the fuck, right? Is it based on the D&D system, or is it fucking,
yeah. No, it's based on D&D. I mean, Baldur's Gate, all the games have loosely been based on a system of D&D. Mm. Like, you know, Baldur's Gate 2, I think it was 3.5. Like, yeah, you know, it's just little things where like, okay, like it's just an easy thing to kind of build off of as far as it went. It just had its own contained story as well. And then the thing is about Baldur's Gate 3 is that it's super close to 5th edition, which is the most popular current edition.
Yeah, most. Yeah, yeah. I'm.
Yeah, it's the one that hit the wave. Like, yeah.
Okay.
But you know, this is another opportunity for people to be into Dungeons and Dragons, to be into things, right? But instead of taking the scene and say, hey, like, you know, we can also get like a full, because I get it, Dungeons and Dragons, the movie didn't do as well as they were hoping, but it was not a bad movie, honestly, if you went watched it, especially the way I walked into it, because I was expecting it to be garbage. But I was also like, oh no, some of these references are funny. There's heart here in some of these places. Some of these things were a little, take a little while, like took a little less time than I was hoping they would. And then the twist was fun. Like, so when I saw an opportunity for Dragonlance to kind of see that same possible resurgence, like, you know, hey, people are going to love it. Like Last of Us, right? People who don't know, didn't know who the fuck Joel was, didn't know why we were all sad at Last of Us 2. Like, those people now have an opportunity to kind of go through the same horror. Like, we've talked about, like, how some of these IPs, some of these things, they offer, some of these like remakes, some of these movies that are coming out, these adaptations offer so many people an opportunity to get into something different, to get into like, to get into some of the shit that I love, some of the shit that some of these other people have loved for years, you know, and an opportunity for you motherfuckers to make some cash.
So Joe Manganiello wrote the script for
He was
the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
No. Joe Manganiello was writing the pilot for Dragonlance. No. The people
I just looked up the shit, right?
Oh, did he have, did he have involvement too? Because there were two.
Yeah, hold on. It said that he had wrote the, let me see who wrote it.
There were two. I thought it was two brothers that were actually.
Yeah, so there's the screenplay. I guess he had just submitted a script or some shit like that. Because I'm trying to, I'm an outsider to this fucking community, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know all that much.
Joe, it would make a lot of sense for Joe to actually put out like a script or something like that, because he's written for other things. Like, he was also
It says that he wrote one. He had wrote one and he had submitted it and blah blah blah. And
another time for him to pass off. I was like, is this nigga ever gonna get a chance? God damn.
Well, okay, so now that I'm here, right, and I'm just kind of hearing it, and I know you're very passionate about it, right? As you should be, like, nigga, it's something that's important to you. You know what I mean? And as a nigga who is very detached from fantasy just the likes, right? Like, I know a little bit about, you know, just like how any like classic nerd would know, like a little bit about the generalities, right? Yeah. Based off what you said, I am trying to unpack why it wouldn't get picked up, right? I'm unpacking it, right?
Yeah.
One, something that I'm trying to like go for, right? Hasbro did a bunch of layoffs. Why the fuck did they do a bunch of layoffs? We're mad, but why?
Oh, because other portions of the company are not doing as well. Like, honestly, the stock is in the tank. And there's been a lot of joking around amongst me and my friends, other people, that I'm like, Magic the Gathering and the reserve list is single-handedly like holding motherfucking Hasbro up. Because it's an economy, like there's a whole economy. Some of the cards are worth thousands of dollars. I mean, not to say this is a $1 billion company.
Is it a resale economy, or is it just like
No, like the value. Like, the thing is that they can continue to print these cards. Every set is going to have cards of value, and they get bits and pieces of all that because people are looking for these particular cards. So they buy more packs or more boxes. They print wild and crazy cards or reprint cards for box toppers.
So it's not a resale economy.
I mean, the TCG market is not necessarily a resale. I wouldn't say a resale economy. It's just the thought process of like getting these, they're very powerful cards, things like that, that are going to be valuable over time. Like, some people are
right. So it sounds like it's a resale economy to me.
Explain what you mean by resale.
So like, okay, so like shoes, right? Like, Nike produces shoes or whatever the fuck, and then you pick up the shoe, and then like over time the shoe gains value, but that value is not cycled back into the company.
I got these
fucking ones. The ones are fucking worth, you know, $220 upon retail, and then like I hold them for like 6-7 years, and then I sell them again for $2,200. But that $2,200 does not go to Nike. It goes.
Oh
to
yeah, no. So once the card has been printed, once it's out there, they're not getting money back for that. Yeah, no. No, okay, they make cool. Money. So they like, make their money continuing to print and process things. Like,
yeah. Cool. So like, I think with something like this, right, it's very important to create new customers, right? Indeed. Like, when it comes to like, you know, Magic the Gathering, and we've talked about this
ad nauseum.
excuse me, pardon me. Like, let me not shit on whatever, right? Because I appreciate the culture behind like Dungeons and Dragons and fucking Magic the Gathering. I think it's all valuable shit. But like, trying to, because this is one of those things where I'm like, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
You're not gonna hurt my fucking.
No, feelings. No. There's very few things in the world that you care about to this degree.
You know what I mean? I love it. I've been doing.
I gotta ask you now. Like, I was about to say something about Palestine, but we would never. We not that pot.
Don't you do this to
me? Yeah, I mean, no. Don't you give that a beat? All right, cool. All right. So fucking, it's one of those things where I know it's so close home for you, and like to see things that you really want to succeed not succeed. Yeah. And I'm like, well, of course that shit didn't succeed. Like, who the fuck cares? Like, nobody wants to hear that because that's not true, right?
Yeah. So because somebody out there does give a fuck.
And I think that there's a very good portion of people that give a fuck, but I think that there's. All right, so we lay off 1,100 people because, you know, we're not doing too hot.
And we're not selling as many Transformers toys as we were really hoping.
Right, and it's because we're not breathing the life that we need to breathe into these fucking properties. We're not making people care.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, I think especially with, like, Hasbro, which spends so much time, like, buying up and, like, pouring into these legacy fucking IPs and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who do you please in that situation, right? You got the guaranteed buys of the old fans, and then you got the fucking new people we could appear to, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we could try to adhere to the new people, right? But What is that going to do to the original customers? Yeah. Like, that new fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, right? I don't think I had to say the whole thing. But that new fucking...
you could have said TMNT.
TMNT shit, right? Like, I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, some of these, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Newer,
like,
some of these newer ones are great. Like, there are even homages to Naruto and some of these, like, you know.
Yeah, I think that they're all good. Ago. I think they're all good in supply a different portion to, you know,
like, somebody like, else. I mean, the thing is that they were looking for, like, oh, shit, you know, fucking Across the Spider-Verse is coming out. That shit's eating. Animated is the way to go. We don't need to make these CGI monsters anymore. We don't necessarily need to, like, make them cartoonish. So let's go ahead and
make them ugly.
Make them
they're fucking ugly.
They're, but they're also black.
They're fucking ugly.
They're also black.
They're not black.
They got, like,
some of them are black.
Yeah.
Youth culture is black culture, but that's beside the point, right? They're young.
Exactly.
They're young, right?
They're young. That's black.
some of them are black, like maybe two of them. I don't fucking know. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, right? That's not what
I also don't like the voice actor they got for Donatello, but that's beside the point, right?
I hadn't seen the film, but
it's good. It's got Io from The Bear in there. She plays April O'Neil.
Oh shit.
And she does a great job.
Yeah.
But she just doesn't hold that role that people expect from April. Okay. They don't hold that role from whatever. So you kind of, like, as a company, you have to make the decision. Like, do I give a fuck?
Do I give a fuck about alienating a base to create a new line of customers?
Right. Or is there a happy medium between there? Right.
Because, I mean, like, to a degree, it's like, hey, look, we haven't been satisfying the base for a second. So, like, hey, let's see what we can do about these new folks. And I get that. And again, I understand that, like, it is a business at the end of the day, right? And you got to look at it, like, how many people are you looking to actually reach? But I'm like, okay, if you look at this, right, and if Dungeons & Dragons has been in the Wizards of the Coast, Wizards of the Coast, right, has two big-ass, like, motherfucking money mountains that they're basically building. Cash cows, essentially, right? Dungeons & Dragons has been one of the most lucrative things on their board. They've had multiple record years of profit as far as Magic the Gathering goes because they put out a fucking Lord of the Rings set. We talked about it, like, where they made...
Yeah, we talked about it before. And I think that just in general, Magic the Gathering is such a revolving door that... Yeah. Like, you can put out anything. Like,
they've got a whole thing called Universes Beyond, right? They just revealed that shit's dropping every 2 years, which Universes Beyond just means that we can take another IP from anywhere and just, like,
make it in there.
I can
cross over the fucking audiences and we can create something.
And instead of, because they tried that a bunch with their own IPs, they were like, we'll make Transformers cards, we'll make My Little Pony cards, we'll make,
Yeah, and not only that, I think that because Magic the Gathering is a fucking game, right? And believe me, we wrote a whole video on it, right? Because it's a game, and by proxy means that it should be shared, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get like trickling customers all the time. Like somebody's going to bring somebody into the foray and be like, this is cool. Right.
Indeed. And but, I get that.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I get that. But I mean, like at the same token, right? A story is something that's meant to be shared. Like it's not something that is. Like,
right. Okay. But and this is my point, right? The new players don't know that Magic the Gathering is a fucking story or has a story.
True.
That's I'm why, playing the game with my friends. Dungeons yeah, that's and Dragons. Never been
a successful fucking series. Like they just it's hard to find a lane to live in. Like because
right. Dungeons and Dragons, that's a game too. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm playing with my fucking friends. I can bring my friend in here and like he might be into the game, but he might not be into whatever, right? So I can continue.
He doesn't care about the Harpers or whatever the fuck. Like as far as
I don't give a fuck. Who are those people? I don't
for the Dungeons and Dragons movie, which again was wild, could have been something, but like it became kind of a reference, like the movie reference. The movie is like, how many Dungeons and Dragons references can we make in here? Yeah. How many like interesting
and to those who know, it's cool.
Yeah,
right. Didn't Critical Role do like a Dungeons and Dragons thing or some shit like that?
Yeah, well, Critical Role, right, is the live play show, but they also have a animated show on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and that's based on what?
But it's based on their first campaign,
which is based on what?
Which is based on something that they made up. Like,
oh, it's not Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and it's done. Excuse me, Matthew Mercer and his friends. They got
together. Names.
That's
the anyway. Name. Not my bad. My bad. You know me. You know me and my personal gripes with this type of shit.
I get it. I just say you don't know who the fuck that is. This is the nigga that
like y'all niggas over here talking about names. Who the fuck are these niggas, man?
Dungeon Master for Critical Role.
Yes, I know that now. I've known that for years.
Started off in Pathfinder, right? They were looking to just play a TTRPG. They were like, hey, let's play. They played Pathfinder. They made the switch to Dungeons and Dragons. Then they made the switch to goddamn live play. They started streaming in the shit, right? They got so invested, they were like, this could be an actual show. So then they started talking, they started like looking at animators, things to that degree, and they crafted a fucking pilot and they've submitted to Amazon. They were like,
yeah,
cool, we'll do it. Right. So it's a show that's based around these characters.
Their campaign, but you refuse to acknowledge that it's also about Dungeons and Dragons.
But I'm saying is it's not about Dungeons and Dragons because the rules don't apply. Like that's what I'm saying. The rules for Dungeons and Dragons are not there. It's not in the system.
The rules for Dungeons and Dragons are not going to apply to a fucking TV show.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a show. I'm saying that there are things that are not D&D accurate, right? That are in the TV show. This TV show is about the story that spawned from the campaign.
Yes, and it's a beautiful. Like, I mean, yes, I assume it's a beautiful
D&D.
Story.
Yeah, it's D&D adjacent.
It's D&D adjacent, right? I'm not. It's not branded D&D. It's not that's branded. What that's but what exactly. I'm saying is like
they're trying to make a split. They're trying to actually separate themselves from
D&D
because they don't want to be pigeonholed for the system and shit like that.
Totally get it. Get it. Like you don't want to have to adhere to those types of rules. Yeah. You know who doesn't give a fuck about that? Who doesn't have to get no. Cause I'm not trying to just because this is not about shitting on fantasy or none of that other stuff. Because once again, I respect it.
Right? I get you.
But the reason that DC is able to get new fans every year, the reason that Marvel is able to get new friends every year is that they don't lock themselves into a fucking canon. Like if I got a TV, Teen Titans TV show has very little to do. With
the actual like comic book canon,
right? And there's like there's references,
sometimes decades, yeah, because there are fantastic stories that kind of resonate with a lot of people. So you make references; they don't necessarily hinge the entire storyline, but they do perk up the ears of individuals who are like privy. And I get that.
And above all, they entertain a base.
Okay,
now I get it. Like somebody, Red X is not a character. In the goddamn comics.
No, it's just
he's loosely based on various characters.
Yeah. And so we've managed to kind of make this individual a fan favorite and kind of bring him back in later on seasons and shit like that to make people feel like, oh shit, you know, this is the story, the world itself of this show has built itself.
Right. And it generates interest, right? And I'm not saying that like there's nothing in D&D.
And I get that because the thing is, we're talking about D&D. That's a game, right?
Also, like let's not forget we're talking about Dragonlance. But go ahead.
Well, the reason I was going to get back to that is because like Dragonlance itself, right? I can go on and on about names and stories and like why it's good and blah 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 blah. But the thing is that what I point out to you as far as Game of Thrones, the reason why people really—I mean, I can't say the reason why everybody loved it, but one of the reason I fucked with Game of Thrones so heavy was very story-driven. Like there were multiple POVs essentially that kind of came through from each family. There were people that you could root for. There were individuals that you didn't want to root for that you end up rooting for later. Like the same reason that I didn't think that I was going to like Breaking Bad, was the same reason I was like, I don't necessarily know if I'm going to watch the Game of Thrones show. Like, this is interesting as a book, but how are they going to do all of these different like POVs and shit like that? Are we really going to be jumping like from this place to this place? Like, how are we going to do this as a show? So I didn't believability for me as like, oh, Game of Thrones, the show. I don't see where the fuck that's going to go. I mean, I'm here for fantasy, but maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this shit.
Exactly.
Right.
But I found myself just as riveted when I actually did sit down and watch it, and I continued to watch it, and I watched it the entire, like, not the entire run, but all the way to the end. Like, you know, when I picked up at season 4 and then, like, you know, watched all the way to like 2019.
Okay, cool.
So that's the thing for me is, the thing for me is this, right? The same way that Game of Thrones, right? It was a chance. They took a risk, right? Because the thing is that Game of Thrones itself, George R.R. Martin, these are not household names at the time. I would argue to say that was not the case in 2011. People were not necessarily.
I would venture to say that George R.R. Martin is still not a household name.
Probably. Either way. But the thing is that neither is Tracy Weiss. I mean, neither is Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman, right? These are two writers who just dropped a book, right? Joe Manganiello is not necessarily a household name. Like, right? He's just a fairly big star attached to a bigger star. Shout out Sophia Vergara and her shit. But
I mean, the nigga is worth $40 million, so I think he's doing something.
Definitely. I love that nigga, so I'm not here to talk shit or throw shade, but I'm saying that, like, the same chance that was taken on Game of Thrones by HBO and shit like that for picking it up, I feel like we had the opportunity to do the same situation, and I feel like it could have easily panned out just as well. Mm-hmm. And even at its worst, be a Rings of Power, which was still decent. Right. I mean, mind you, at the same time, like, spending billions of dollars to not necessarily get the same returns, different world. Right. But I don't think that the budget would have had to even be that big for it to be a good show and continue to, like, grow in budget. Like, we weren't expecting The Witcher to be as good as it was.
The show.
I don't know if you've checked. Yeah, the show. I would be. But the games are great.
Because, like, to me, the crossover media for The Witcher is the games.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so, yeah, definitely. That's what set off, because the books are great, right? Like, the books are, but it's a Polish writer. It's not even really made from America. Like, that's right.
that was a way to create something that would interface with, like, you know, general audiences that made you like, okay, I fuck with this. I like this. Same for Baldur's Gate, et cetera, right?
Exactly.
But here's my kicker, right? I don't know enough about Dragonlance or various other fucking fantasy media fantasy books or fantasy, what is the word? Genesis points? I don't fucking know. like with D&D is the game, with fucking Dark Tower is the book, with whatever.
Gotcha. The crossover points, like where these moments were like, well, I mean, I don't know, origins, like where they started, like
origins. All right, I'll go.
It was like, right? when you the Dark Tower is what kind of made me think about that, because I'm like, they don't really have a good representation for that.
Well, Dark Towers are very popular. Like,
oh no, Stephen series. King, like one of the best book series that nigga ever wrote. Also, one of my favorite comic book series.
And to me, like, Dark Tower comics, that's where I fucking got in. Right, I didn't read the books, but, like,
yeah,
I think
people didn't get into Dragonlance because of the books. Like, there are comics, right? I don't think they've had a good video game.
Also, I looked up this fucking movie. The movie did terrible.
What, Dungeons and Dragons?
No, nigga, fucking Dungeons and Dragons did okay. Well,
I was like Dragonlance 2008.
The Dragonlance 2008 thing. It did terrible.
Like I said, it did bad. It did really bad.
Okay, cool. So they're already taking a gamble by fucking even going.
Not only that, but last year they also dropped a Dragonlance module, and then also a board game as well that did not do well. But the thing was these are things that were just mildly set in the, like, universe. This wasn't a thing where it was like, let's use the characters that people actually love, the stories that people are actually into and shit like that. But it's more so just borrow from the world.
Okay.
Because we don't necessarily want to pay the same money for, like, using certain people or certain things. Like, we want to be able to handle this partnership, but not necessarily got too deep in that shit with our money, like, being the way it is.
Fair enough.
I get not necessarily taking a gamble. It fucks me up that they didn't take
It's fucked up, and I agree. Like, we always not allowing
not allowing it to do more. Like, here's the deal, right? With Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man and the Spider-Man Sony situation. You know, after Andrew Garfield, there was no Spider-Man for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And then because of the fact that Sony owns the rights, but they managed to talk it out with Disney, and we got a little bit of stuff. So we got Tom Holland Spider-Man, and we were able to kind of put these out still. And even worked it out so much so that now we can have two different Spider-Man universes going, three technically, if you count Venom. I don't know, like, he's got his own, the Venomverse or whatever the fuck. But I mean,
yeah,
if you count all these things, they're all going on at simultaneously at the same time, right? But we were allowed to kind of see this shit prosper because people were able to make deals. It was like, hey, look, we're not necessarily doing anything with this IP right now, right? We know you want to do something with that IP. So how about we go ahead and make some kind of deal? You can run three movies and
right. Then we'll- But I also think that because Spider-Man is a character that incorporates different universes and shit, and like, you know, the OG nerd canon knows that fucking, like, you know, we're cool with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's
we've lived in a world where multiple Spider-Man IPs existed. We had the TV show and the fucking movie going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And we just accepted that they don't converge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I get that. I'm totally on board. I'm just saying that, like, with the IP situation, like, them blocking the buy for the IP is what fucks me up. Because I'm like, hey, look, all right, I get it. You guys have not had good luck with this shit. You rolled the dice a lot, and it's not necessarily panning out. But you have an individual who has the backing of other people that are saying, like, these are people that love it. These are people that are passionate about it. These are individuals whose opinions are obviously right because they're like, hey, look, since Game of Thrones, like, this is like, and acknowledging one, that that's a fantastic pilot, and acknowledging two, putting them in the same sentence is a
well, who said it's a fantastic pilot? Some executives?
Yeah, this is, you know, executive shit.
I mean, the audience ain't seen it.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, they're either not going to see it, but I would love for them to give this nigga an opportunity to at least produce the pilot. Like, at least get it out of the fucking pen stage, get it off the paper, and get it something to where I'm gonna get like a small treatment that we can at least get to somebody. But instead,
and it's possible that Hasbro just ain't got the fucking money for that. So
no, and I get it, but Joe has got money in his pocket and he's offering.
Right, but it's also like so these niggas are very not big, but they're eating off of the niggas around them. You know what I'm saying? Like, the culture supports me, so whatever, right? And I think in order to make money, you have to get out of your circle. So, like, if Joe or whoever the fuck, whomever, is like, all right, I'm going to just have to take this into my own hands, you have to take that in your own hands the right way.
Yeah, which is...
If you want it to go... It all depends on your goals, right? Like, if you want to just, like, crowdsource and self-produce, like, your own... IP or whatever the fuck, or you not IP, but fucking
definitely. Like, and I mean, the guy's got business experience. Like, he's made Liquid Death. He's got his own live play show that he did. He's proven.
Yeah. But the people who watch that, right? Like, if you go to fucking and just maybe this is still coherent or whatever the fuck, right? But say you go to fucking 7-Eleven and you see fucking Liquid Death in a fucking refrigerator, are you buying that shit?
Huh? Me personally, no.
Yeah, all right, right. Most people aren't going to buy that shit because it's just like, what the fuck is this?
No,
but if you get enough advertising around it, you get the right people to push it.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Rogan is drinking Liquid Death.
But even outside of Joe Rogan, because the Joe Roganites are going to fucking buy it, right? But like, you get another type of nigga, right? Like, say fucking somebody from youth culture.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Like, Post Malone is also a nigga that drinks as well. Like, you know, this is just
random. Yeah, fair. But like, get like a Kai Cenat to drink. Fucking Liquid Death, or even just get Kai Cenat to fucking like talk about reading fucking Dragonlance. I guarantee you, you're gonna change shit.
Oh, for sure. But that's the thing, is like, there's nobody with a big, like, there's so far, there's not a big enough name, like, right, that's champion behind it. There's nobody that's like, ooh, Dragonlance, man, that shit hitting, like, you know. But I don't know who the fuck, I don't see who the fuck it was at the time that was like, yo, Game of Thrones, this was definitely the move, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I think like HBO, I think hired it out. But either way, like that's one of those things where you're very right that it does have like a business sense about it. And it does make sense that it's not necessarily as pushable at this moment. I think like there's just not anything that's crossed over enough to make this even a big enough underground name for them to kind of take the opportunity.
Right. It's like it relies on people who know about it. You know what I'm saying? True. And I mean, like, yes, the TV show would have been the perfect opportunity to, you know, like, push that out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Hasbro's already laid off a million motherfuckers. Not a million. Like, they've already laid off a ton of people. And they've already, like, acknowledged, like, hey, we ain't got no money. So if we ain't got no money to fucking pay people so they can be with their families, we ain't got no money to fucking push a show that people don't know about. I mean, granted, Game of Thrones is a very, it's an anomaly because Game of Thrones came out at a time where TV and culture coincided. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Breaking Bad, I think Breaking Bad had just ended or was getting ready to end. 2011?
Yeah. Nah, 2011. I think Breaking Bad ended like 2013. I think.
Yeah. So Breaking Bad was at its peak. Yeah. Fucking, you know, like Mad Men, the whole thing. People were watching TV. So like you have this fucking TV show that's like, whatever. I don't know why Game of Thrones got popping.
It hit. Like it really hit.
And I was
like,
why did it
hit? It was the fucking, some people would say, you know, the
high, I think it's the fucking.
Some people say the characters themselves are that just that damn good.
And I think it was the fucking.
I mean, the fact
that, like, everybody that told me to watch Game of Thrones is like, oh brother, always fucking, it's crazy.
I mean, I know those circles as well, but I also know the people that were like, yo, the intrigue is crazy, right? What you the people that you think are the heroes and not the heroes, the whole time that you're like, all right, I'm kind of rooting for this guy, or the motherfucker that looks like the main protagonist is not the main protagonist. You know, it becomes a situation of like, you don't know who the fuck is coming out on top. And that's where people are very into it, because you have that same like thought process of a Mad Men. Or like a Boardwalk Empire or some shit like that. But
yeah, it's, and morally gray fucking shit, all that other shit, yeah. Right? And I think the culture has shifted a little bit. I think they still want morally gray characters, but like, because we've had so many, niggas are not able to determine. They don't have expectations anymore.
Yeah, but that's my thing. That's my thing about fucking Dragonlance, is that it's very layered. There's a lot of very deep characters and shit like that. And I can go on and on about that all damn day. But I mean, again, I can only rally at the streets, shake the bars, and fucking rattle my cup against this motherfucker. Give me what I want. Put my favorite show on. Tell everybody it's great. As much as I can only do that so goddamn much, because unfortunately, motherfucking Hasbro ain't listening to me yet. But don't worry, motherfuckers. I'll be in the building kicking down doors. Yeah, I got fuck your G.I. Joes, nigga. It's time to bring fucking Taz Burf. Bring Burfoot in this motherfucker. Bring Cameron and Race and all these niggas in. Either way. Yeah,
it's got real. I'm trying to wrap up energy now. Before you wrap up, I really need you to try to at least come up with a solution. What is your fucking solution?
To as far as Dragonlance goes,
just in general, just to help put fantasy back on the map, just to help people take chances on like fantasy and shit.
So here's my thing, right? Like Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, it's still probably. I would say it's still really ruling the world, because they've just announced another couple of spinoffs that are actually happening. Snow, they've announced the spinoff for fucking Aegon and his sisters, the Conquerors, like that like originated Westeros and all that shit, or at least not necessarily originated, but yeah, it didn't necessarily originate, but motherfucking like showed up and conquered Westeros and shit like that. The people that were there, blah blah blah, names and shit. I think that it's going to take a bigger name. Like I think that if it comes down to an individual like, I mean, I hate to say another fucker like a Zack Snyder or somebody like that, but like it's gonna take that level of a movie. Like we're gonna need the Michael Bay of fucking what's the name of the nigga that did Lord of the Rings?
Peter Jackson.
That's what I was about to say. It's not Michael Bay did Transformers, but he made people give a fuck about Transformers with the first one again.
That was like, not Michael Bay.
Michael Bay made the first
trip. Oh, Michael Bay did. I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad. I'm tripping. I thought you were trying to say Michael Bay did fucking Lord of the Rings.
No. I was saying Michael Bay did Transformers. I was trying to remember the name of the director for Lord of the Rings or the first three trilogy.
My bad, nigga. I was replying to a text, nigga. You got it.
No, you're fine. You're okay. I'm just saying that it's going to take one of those. Like, I think that's going to be kind of where it's at. Somebody like that to kind of like take this to a direction where people are going to be somewhat interested, because I don't think that people are going to jump the fantasy bandwagon anytime big soon. Like I think that people are just, it's shown that the world has and is ready for that type of thing. It's just whether or not it's going, like where you're going to find the wave, because now things are like popping on streaming. You almost want the whole thing dropped at the same time, Whereas like Game of Thrones was really popping because of appointment television, where it was like, hey, look, at 8 o'clock, Game of Thrones is on. Like, you know, it's like, hey, look, we got to move, because if we don't, I'm going to miss this and I'm going to be upset. Like, I got DVR, but I'm going to miss it. I'm here with other people talking about it. And that was another thing that it grew to, is like people were also having like these live conversations about like Game of Thrones and things to that degree as it was coming out. So for me, I'm like, it needs, if it, it whether it's Dragonlance or any other fantasy IP, it's going to require like either a really good game, like it's going to be like a really good game. Like Baldur's Gate right now is doing super well. If they were to say like, hey, you know, if we wanted to kind of make something in this vein, maybe like a small fucking, even a Netflix show, because even Dragon Age, right? Dragon Age is still keeping itself somewhat relevant by releasing animated movies and shit.
Yeah.
Like every so often they were like, hey, look, drop another one. And we know we don't put out games a lot. So let's, I think another thing that can happen is that Dragonlance itself doesn't have like a champion that's doing things online. It's not something that's heavily talked about as far as that goes. Like, I don't even think, if I went online right now, I think that Dragonlance is being typed more into search engines at this point because of the Joe Manganiello. Because I think that was kind of what he was attempting to do. Because typically when something like this gets the plug pulled on it, you get a couple of articles or something like that, and it's like, hey, look, this happened. Oh, damn. Right. But this man actually took the time. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to YouTube. I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to say, hey, look, this is what I wanted to do with it. This is how I was pinning it, how I was crafting it. These motherfuckers would not let me. You know, maybe we can try to create some type of fucking crowd engagement, things to that degree. Because I have followers, I have friends, I have people that like listen to me in this space, right? And maybe this can cross over. Maybe this builds big enough to where different platforms pick it up and they can see that they can pick it up further down the line. Because, you know, hey, we're not looking to develop this IP right now. It's kind of like, hey, again, like the, my thing was not like, I said they shot in the foot, they took it outside the backyard, shot it, but it's just in this limbo thing. I'm like, I don't like it when they're like, hey, look, we were developing this, we were almost there, and then it was like, we'll pull it. Like, because there's opportunities here to get the money, right? Because we've proven that crowdsourcing and things like that really does work. And that given the opportunity, I think that Dragonlance fans would show up. But the thing is that not given the opportunity, like giving us the like the chance to say, hey, like, hey, we want this and we'll put shit behind it, right? Because like that's what I feel like. I feel like also like there could definitely be a better liaison for Hasbro or Wizards of the Coast even when it comes to like community and shit like that. Like, but we've kind of broken that down into like multiple different community committees and things. I'm more privy to the Magic the Gathering side of it than like the fucking Wizards of the Coast thing, because I still like, I treat those guys like, oh my God, they're doing more live plays. I can't believe it. Like, but they don't necessarily put out as much information about like what's happening behind the scenes. Mostly like, hey, coming soon. We're good to bear.
So more content that's not completely like,
this is stuff
not Magic centric or not, yeah. Like not IP centric.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unless they were like saying like, hey, this is a specific Dragon Age. And then getting,
or like, this is like the BTS for Dragon Age, or this is how we kind of put it together, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Like, you know, they the module stuff, the stuff they gave us for Dragon Age wasn't necessarily that awe-inspiring or anything like that. It wasn't, they didn't roll this shit out like they had plans to make a movie. They rolled that shit out like, hey, look, we put it on the fucking calendar and here it is.
True. Like, they didn't give it the full push.
Exactly.
Fair. Fair.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, that's my only real like thought process of solution.
Okay.
Maybe like,
I mean, the only thing I would say is something more. The only thing I would say is like, get out of the fucking comfort zone. More crossover media.
Yeah.
Commit to other audiences. You know what I mean? That type of shit.
Like, commit to marketing to other audiences, things like that. Because this thing is a universal story. That's the thing about the story itself, is that it's not like designed only to be consumed by the most nerdy of nerds. True, it's got shit in here for everybody. I think there is a little fucking too. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, that. I mean, you gotta spin it, man. You gotta figure out what the spin is and not be scared of your audience.
Sorry. But you know, that's the thing. It's like, it does also require somebody with some money. So like,
but also you gotta want it to grow. So I mean, there's that too. Yeah, a lot of fantasy niggas don't want their shit to grow.
No, there's the wrong people. Shit like that. They're like, hey, look, man, we don't want necessarily everybody over here. All right, cool.
Yeah. You know, I get it. You know, I validate myself.
If you're not bougie, you know.
Yeah.
If I don't make you out to be the bad guy, then I'm not validated in my shit.
Oh shit.
yeah. You know, your little jewels and shit like that, man. You got any closing thoughts for the people, man? You got any closing thoughts?
Yeah,
for
I got folks? Nothing. I already said what I think needs to happen. What would be beneficial to happen.
Okay. Well, shit, man. I mean, I'm glad. Thank you so much for having this motherfucking conversation with me. I got a little heated. I was like, okay, cool. You know, we definitely need to talk about this here. Thank you guys so much for dropping in on the pod today. We really appreciate you. If you made it all the way to the end, you know that we love you. A1, day one. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram. Please get us on TikTok. We love that shit. We've got a new TikTok that's promoting our games I couldn't play because I was broke. Because, hey, look, we're having a really good time with all our TikToks here, but it's kind of getting bogged down over there. So as we get ready to produce more of these, we'd like to give it a place where it can kind of live on its own because it's a series all its own, you know? So go check us out at what's the TikTok for that, my brother?
Games Went Broke.
Yes, Games Went Broke. I always say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, go check it out. You know where we be at. Yeah, he and hey, fantasy niggas, fantasy niggas. I'm joking. I'm not coming at you, niggas.
Fantasy niggas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not coming at you,
niggas. Nah, come on out here, man. Yeah, all the fantasy niggas. Hey, man, stand up. Get in the comments. Let me know what you fucking think about a Dragonlance possibility. We got Dragonlance fans, Dragonlance favorites, people that we let enough fucking know. I would love to discuss the shit with you. Maybe come up with stuff. Maybe I'll do like a live play or something like that in the Dragonlance world. It's kind of a little homebrew action and shit like that. I got a little knowledge. We might be able to stick it. Either way, man, we got other things coming for y'all. We love you guys. Thank you so much. It's the Well-Spoken Token, and I'm out.